It's Monday.
What's up, everyone?
It's Motivation Day. It's Motivation Monday. And I want everybody to look at their watch and tell me when your next sales call is.
People do not wear watches anymore. I mean, they unless do. It's like an Apple Watch.
Right. Wait a second.
Look at your phone.
All right. And tell me when your next appointment is. And if there's no appointments today, what the hell were you doing Friday?
I don't know. Horseback riding or something.
The answer is totally not enough. And we are going to talk today about a very important subject. But before we do, I'm going to be in Des Moines on Thursday and Friday. Why the hell are you not going to be there?
Actually 300 of your closest friends
will be there,
but you, my friend, may not be there. And that's a question you have to ask yourself.
So
why?
If you know anybody within a few hundred miles of Des Moines, go. You start driving now, or you can start walking now and make it. But you could start driving the morning of the event.
The website, which we'll put in the comments, is cgittimer.com/Des Moines.
Yeah, go. Also going to be in Charlotte at the end of June, or almost the end of June.
Yep.
And lots of things are going on right now that you should really know about.
cgittimer.com/Charlotte.
Yeah, exactly. But today...
Well, before we get into it, Jeffrey, let's tell everyone what this is about, because we have some people joining us for the first time.
No, if you're joining us for the first time, put something in the comment right this minute.
First timer?
Yeah,
first
come
timer.
On. First timer. See?
There you go. I like it.
So you know what we're talking about, and we're here to help you sell.
This is
more.
Sell or Die. This right. is our weekly podcast, and every Monday we come at you with Monday Motivation Monday, to help you kickstart your week and kick your own butt.
Correct. And for those who don't know,
we have two first timers already.
Very
Ray
nice.
Weiss, Matthew
very, very nice.
Reeves, welcome, guys. Yeah. Welcome. Lou Diamond is here.
Oh, my gosh.
Great. Jeffrey works on Mondays.
The great Lou Diamond. Thank
Ken
you.
Ken Walls is here.
Whoa.
Amy Spinks. What up, Amy? I owe you a phone call, don't I? Meredith is here. I don't know how you pronounce it. Khaki
yeah.
is
Meredith,
here.
Who knows how to work her last name? All right. So anyway, so
this
we're
is
here.
Awesome. Ken Walls thinks it's his first time here. Ken,
we're going
no,
to be talking today about service that goes from absolutely abominably shitty all the way up to great.
That's right.
And what do you need to do in your business in order to be able to provide your customers with more than they're expecting? I think that's the deal. And most of the time, when people do provide lousy service, they have an excuse rather than a reason. And they're blaming everybody and their dog. And I always love it when someone's really rude to me on the phone and I call a supervisor and they say, did you get the name of the person?
Yeah, like, can you tell on
like,
them?
Dude, no, I'm not going to do that. Fire the trainer.
I
explain to them that it is not the fault of the person. It's the fault of the person that trained them. They're just doing what they were told. They're not bright enough to create it on their own.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
So we're also, you know, when you have exceptional service, it's something you... something that wows you, you end up telling everyone about it.
Right. And now Mother Google memorializes that crappy service too.
It does. It memorializes everything. Wes, what up, Wes? Is it already afternoon? Oh, man. Matthew Reeves says, got a promotion in 2 weeks as a sales manager. For the first time, boss recommended y'all, so I've binged the podcast for the last week. I love
You're
it.
Very well done.
Well done.
Yep. I think that there needs to be some things about what we're doing that should be authenticated, because now you can do anything on video.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just go behind an email anymore. There has to be – I just got an email from some guy who thinks he's an expert about legendary marketing. And meanwhile, he's talking about how to do his business.
Are
from
you checking
a,
your email while we're on
card
Facebook
table,
Live?
From a card table. See, that's tacky.
It is a little tacky, but maybe he thought that was cool.
It's bullshit.
All right.
Okay, so...
So today we're going to talk to you about service.
Oh, yeah.
We were flying to Jackson Hole sometime last week, and I
needed... That's a throwaway line, by the way. The best throwaway line in the world is, on my way back from the moon.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
That's pretty good. But this is a true story. We were going there for business, and I needed to make an appointment and realized that they would be closed when... we landed. And so I'm Googling to see what I can do. It was a nail appointment. And I could text the salon.
What?
To make my appointment.
That's amazing.
I know. It wasn't just like an app that would load slowly on the plane because everyone knows plane Wi-Fi sucks.
Yep.
But I literally could text them and I did and they responded right away. And that's the coolest part about it is that they were right there ready to take my
business.
Okay,
so you got an appointment. You gave them your money. What was it like when you got there?
Amazing. They were just as friendly and helpful. I mean, I ended up sitting there and working for a big portion of the day one day and they just kept bringing me lemon water.
Oh my God, that must have cost them a fortune.
Would you like some more water, ma'am? Like, sure.
Would you like our bathroom also so you can pee? Anyway, so that was a successful venture.
But they were just, okay, so the facade that they put up when I texted them to make the appointment was the exact same as they were in store. Okay, they were friendly, they were responsive, they were helpful, they were nice. It was...
So...
There's no better way to do business.
Let's fast backwards to a couple of weeks ago. When Eric... Once upon a time, Erica's moving into her house. She's got a bunch of dogs. She contacts the fence company. She gives them a deposit, and they tell her that they will be there in a couple of days to install the fence.
And every few days, they keep telling her, we'll be there in a few days.
So finally, she makes an appointment with them for this past Friday.
And it's not like she just needs a fence. Like,
no, she's got a bunch of dogs.
She has a bunch of dogs.
Yeah.
They need the fence.
Right. She needs to hold the dogs in the pen, in the fence. Anyway, they don't show.
No. They specifically, the sales guy, told her, we'll be there on Friday.
Now, you can't conduct business like that anymore. It's bullshit. And in the fence business, which is notorious for that kind of crap, they don't call anybody. Erica calls the office and they were closed. They shut their phones off because they were having a party. I think it was about how great they serve customers or something. But whatever it was stupid.
Totally
First of all, you could have an answering service. Second of all, you could proactively call people. And third of all, you could have one person there to answer the damn phone.
Hold on. I don't think everyone understands how valuable this concept of the answering service is.
Yeah. We answer our phone 24. If you're in a drunken stupor tonight, call us at 3 o'clock in the morning. Watch what happens.
If you need pizza, whatever, it'll get on its way to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you'll just have to pay for the pizza. But for real, like, we get a text message anytime someone calls.
Wherever in the world we are.
Yeah, if it's like 3 a.m. and you call needing something, we get a message and we'll get right back to you.
So.
Mitch Taylor is here. What up, Mitch?
Hi, Mitch. We actually had to call the CEO of the parent company to get Erica's fence installed tomorrow.
While I was getting my lemon water, I messaged him on LinkedIn and may have threatened to contact the Better Business Bureau if he didn't contact me immediately.
They have a bunch of crappy reports of them on Google, and it's stupid.
Oh, Isabel is here. Hey, Izzy. Oh. What's up? Are you skipping school today?
Come on. Give us a little text here.
Isabel
Gradowski for the world is 10. And she will be a very active participant in this, I can promise you.
Yes. And she may be Jeffrey's granddaughter.
Yeah, she may be. I'm not 100% sure, but she might.
Oh, she's sick. Oh, no. Well, at least you're here with us.
Yeah. At least you're paying attention to the world.
That's right.
It's interesting that you mentioned Google reputation because it is so important in today's business environment. Yep. And we've got a guest coming up in 2 weeks, Damian Paroli, who owns Charlotte Plumbing. And he's going to tell us how he got his business a 5-star reputation.
So it's interesting because that's actually how we found Damian was I Googled plumbers in Charlotte and I only wanted to choose someone who had all 5-star reviews, which I figured would be really hard.
Mm-hmm.
But he made the cut. He has all 5-star reviews. Pretty cool.
His company is also called Charlotte Plumbing. So if you put Charlotte and then plumbing, he pops right up to the top. It's pretty brilliant, I think. What do you think?
Yeah, it's pretty smart.
So now we're in the situation where the fence company is stupid. The salon was smart. But you're the diehard out there are probably somewhere in the middle. You're probably halfway there. Somebody calls at 5 o'clock. They get an answering service. Hi, thanks for calling our company. We have new options.
Well, let's have you guys rate yourselves on a scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah, where are you?
Where are you? 10 being the best.
Does a live person answer 24/7? That's one question.
How responsive are you? How available are you? How knowledgeable are you? These are the things that are going to make people want to do business with you.
And when people call up and they're angry at you, why are they angry? Mm. What causes them to be bent out of shape a little bit? What causes them to, you know, bust your balls a little bit about why you didn't do something? And do they put it up on Mother Google or Facebook or something? And when they do, are you aware of it and do you answer it?
In your opinion, and talking to a lot of salespeople, how often do people consciously evaluate the barriers that they're putting up to the sale?
I'm going to say somewhere between never and almost never.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And it's so vital.
Yeah,
but I'll tell you what happens. Salespeople bitch. Leadership does nothing about it. Typically, that's what happens. But you don't,
as we talked about last week with Deb Calvert about stop selling, start leading, you don't have to be a salesperson anymore who's not a leader. You can be both. And so you can evaluate yourself without someone prompting you to say, oh, well, how you doing at that?
And if you don't do it, I rest assured that it's going to pop up someplace.
Matthew Reeves evaluated himself. I love it. Guys, get it out there. Put it out to the world where you're at. And what's going to help you get to the next level? What's going to help you improve?
Well, I'm going to give one tip right now. Every one of you diehards should have your own name.com, regardless of your company. Yourname.com registered.
But Jeffrey, I'm Tom Smith and everyone has myname.com.
Put Tom Smith, I'm the greatest salesman in the world.com. Or the great Tom Smith.
The best Tom Smith. The real Tom Smith.
Tom
get
Smith,
the idea.
Damn straight. Right. Okay, so now you have your website domain. You have a one-page website. How I treat customers. Or my philosophy for how I treat customers. And if you want to make it two pages, show pictures of your kids. Those are the two things that will get you searchable, findable, and actionable.
May I add? Please put your contact information.
Oh, yeah.
Don't make people track you down. Make it easy to contact you.
That's a huge barrier to a lot of sales, I think, is people hiding their information.
Well, no. What's up now? No one wants to put their phone number.
Let me tell you what it is. That's true. It's IT people making websites and salespeople trying to make sales. They are worlds apart.
Speaking of IT people, my former boss from college, Matt Arthur, is here. Hey, Matt. He was my favorite boss ever.
Really?
I don't know if he knows that. You were.
Well, there you darn go. So I want to make sure that you are accessible, that when someone does find you, they find some value rather than some crappy news, and that you're easy to connect with.
Yeah.
I want once I find
key,
you, I want to click
about
a button.
That fence guy, the sales guy.
Yeah.
Okay. He just told Erica whatever she wanted to hear. Oh yeah, we'll be there on Friday. He had no idea how she rearranged her life to be there on Friday for the fence guys. And so, if you're a salesperson, don't just say what you think the customer wants to hear. Tell the truth.
And we're in the South, so if you say Friday, in the old days, you had to say which Friday. Today, it actually means Friday. It's like this coming Friday. But old-timey salespeople don't get that anymore. They figure, it's okay. You know, it's a South.
No big deal.
Boy. Yeah. But in the meantime, Mother Google is looking for people to break their promises.
And we're from the North.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah, we have no time for anybody.
What about a prospect that buys from you but tells your clients that your products are bad? Huh?
Wow, pretty cool.
All right.
That means you're a great salesperson.
A prospect
hey,
that buys
buy
from
our
you,
shitty product.
But tells your clients that you're... you tell your clients that they're
no.
bad?
No.
He's saying someone bought from this person.
Yeah.
And then they went online and said, this product that I bought from this person is bad. So it reflects negatively
on
the salesperson.
Was it good? Was it bad?
Hang on a second. Go to Amazon.com. Look at any Amazon product that they offer, the Echo, the Fire, the other, and go to the number one star ratings and read them. You would be blown away by how shitty their stuff is, and people buy it by the thousands.
But here's the thing. If you get a negative review,
yeah,
respond to it.
Right.
Okay. First of all, pick up the phone. Don't just respond online. Obviously, you have to respond online, or maybe it's not so obvious. I don't know. So that other people who are looking at the review can see your response. Don't get defensive about it. Respond politely, okay, and help them. But pick up the phone and make it right. Obviously, if someone's taking time out of their day to make a negative review, they're pissed off about something.
Yep.
Go help them.
Yep. And I think there's another part of this. Fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Once somebody says this sucks or this went wrong, go online and explain how you fixed it, how you fixed it for that person for free, and how they hope that you would either.
So you have a cool rule, Jeffrey.
Yeah.
The plus one rule.
Yeah.
Let's tell everyone.
Well, if you call us up and we do something wrong, the best thing that can happen is you tell us about it. Because at that point, we go overboard. We had one customer who got pissed off by one of our salespeople, and we ended up giving the guy a $1,000 subscription to the Learning Academy. He ended up giving us two testimonials for how great it is. Mm-hmm. We sent him books. We sent him everything.
Jeffrey was in flight. I hear about the pissed off customer, which he was rightfully pissed off.
Oh, yeah.
I called him immediately, pulled over to the side of the road, called him immediately, explained that Jeffrey would be calling him, but he's in flight. He goes, oh, Jeffrey just texted me. I mean, like, he was so amazed about our quick response, but that's because we don't want anyone to be pissed off.
In my 25-year-old customer satisfaction is worthless, customer loyalty is priceless book that still sells very well, thank goodness. One of the main quotes is, it never costs as much to fix a problem as it does to not fix the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that quote will live in infamy in any customer service annal. And your job as diehard or person who communicates with service department in your company, let that be your mantra. It never costs as much to fix the problem as it does to not fix the problem. So whatever's wrong, A, communicate it as fast as you possibly can back to the customer, and B, then do something about it.
So Amy says, I live by react, recover, plus one.
Cool.
I love it.
Way to go, Amy.
Yeah. Okay, can I play devil's advocate?
You can do whatever you want, Doug.
Can everyone hear Doug? He's playing devil's advocate.
Yeah. They should be.
Do we have some cool music?
I wish.
For that?
Next time, whenever I'm devil's advocate, I'll have some nice music for it.
All right. Secluded place.
But so.
A place where no one knows a face. Okay.
You don't need music. Jeffrey will just sing.
Right.
There you go, Jeffrey. So here's my devil's advocate to what you were just talking about, where you responded to a customer by going above and beyond and basically pleasing that person by giving. Okay. Mm-hmm. What if I'm a salesperson and I'm burdened by policies because you're the owner of your company. So you have a little bit more flexibility.
No, the bank owns a company.
Anyway, but you have that kind of flexibility. What if I'm burdened by policy that sort of limits what I can do in terms of giving things away? What are some other ways that I can get in there and make them happy?
First of all, become empowered. In other words, you can predict the problem's going to come. There's only going to be 10 of them. Make a list of all those 10 issues, and what is your best response to that? How do you react, respond, and recover from that? That's number one. Number two, if somebody hits you with something new, blindsided, don't do anything until you have talked to your boss.
Mm-hmm.
If you feel unempowered, then talk to someone who is empowered and make a recommendation as to what you would do.
And go fight for the customer because that's your reputation on the line.
Being
it's not just the company's reputation. It's the salesperson, your reputation. And so do whatever you can to be their advocate.
And I'll tell you too, that the times that I've had good customer service experiences where I didn't necessarily get something back in return, I just felt heard.
Mm-hmm.
Even though the end result was, listen, this is about all we can do for you. But I felt heard.
Yeah.
And that's important.
Okay, so we're flying back from Jackson Hole. And sorry, it's not meant to be a throwaway line, but we were. And my seat is missing the little button where you can press it to recline.
On a 3-hour flight, and even though we're in the front cabin,
a 3-hour flight.
Yeah.
And I didn't really care that much, but I did. And it was sharp, so I could have sliced my finger open when I didn't see it there and went
note
to press
to audience,
it in, okay?
She did not slice her finger open. Note to audience, she didn't even scratch her finger.
I may have broken a nail.
Right. Well, there you go.
Okay. So we're on our way back. And so I tweet at American Air and I explain to them, you can see the whole Twitter conversation, it's public. And I explain to them what's going on. And they say, please tell your flight attendant. I said, well...
Right. Yeah, she can fix it right away.
I said, I think she's in the reclined position because... Yeah.
Well, she tried to help me and now she's bleeding out. So.
Right, exactly.
So then I finally get... They said, please press your call button. That's what she's there for. Okay, fine. So I didn't really like their response, but I decide to tell her anyway.
No one presses the call button unless you want to piss somebody off.
So she comes over and I tell her and she says, oh, I'll tell the captain. The captain's flying the freaking plane. Do you think I want him to be worried about my seat at the moment?
Let me fix that while I put this on autopilot. Oh, there's
What's
Mount
the
Everest
pilot
again.
Gonna do? So I tweet back at American Air, and it's hysterical. If you go on Twitter and find me and find this conversation, it's from this weekend. And I explained to them what, you know, she said, and they say, okay, well, we're looking into the facts. What facts are you looking into? I've just told you all of the facts. My seat is broken. You've asked me to go tell someone else, which I did, and they gave me a crappy response.
Jen initiated an NTSB investigation into...
Right. It's now CSI US... American Airlines.
But to Doug's point, people just want to be heard. I literally tweeted them and said, all I wanted was an apology. And if you had thrown me a couple thousand, 10,000 airline points, I would have been happy.
Right. That only took 3 days.
Well, anyway. I've since filed a formal complaint because how they took care of it was unacceptable.
Yeah. And we were angry. And usually, you know, the airlines has a policy that normally revolves around pissing people off, no matter what it is. Oh, we didn't piss you off enough? Let me give you another policy. But the bottom line for them is they don't understand. They're finally starting to understand the power of social media because they're responsive.
So Rachel says, what if your boss doesn't move very quickly?
Then you light a candle
under
his ass.
How long does it take to make a decision to make things right with a customer?
Come on.
Something's wrong. You keep contacting them and you make it happen. It's up to you to make it happen.
The worst thing can happen, by the way, if Rachel, just tell your customer what you think is the best thing. What are they going to do? Fire you for being a good person to a customer? Come on. Yeah, you tried that. She tries to help customers. Let's get rid of her. All right, you guys.
All right, Joshua says happy Monday. Happy Monday, Joshua. Welcome.
And is it time for us to hit the road?
Oh, no. We have to go.
It's going to be
we
Motivation
start
Tuesday
for
before
Des Moines.
You know it. Right. We're going to Des Moines. Get over there. I'll see you Thursday. I'll see you
Friday.
We're
going to do a live sell or die from the stage in Des Moines on Friday.
And we're going to Facebook
Live it.
Stay
tuned for that. It's going to be really cool.
It'll be somewhere around, on Friday, it'll be somewhere around 10 o'clock.
Before noon.
Somewhere around 10 o'clock Des Moines time, which is 11 o'clock real time, I believe, New York time. And your job is to join us for the session. It'll be Q&A. We have a young woman who was very highly impacted by the sales Bible. She'll be talking about it. And we're looking forward to seeing you. Now, find me on Facebook. Find me on YouTube. Find me on Twitter. Find me on any form of social media, especially Instagram. And follow me, please, so I can get to the K position. I only have 8,800 or something.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Especially follow Jeffrey on Instagram.
Because
I have more Instagram followers than he does.
Please.
That's not cool.
Yeah, I'm not begging, please. And we will, we're
right. Actually, I'll put a link where people can, after this, I'll put a link to where people can find us and follow us. How
cool.
about that?
And thank you very kindly for your dieheartedness and your support here today.
Have a great week, guys. Have a great week.
Yeah. Hasta la vista. Jeffrey Gittimer.
Jen Gluckow.
Sell something, even if your ass falls off.